And welcome to the midday. Stephanie is there, as usual.
Good afternoon, Norman.
Good afternoon. And this is the first time we've had, maybe I shouldn't start this way, this is the first time we've had a cast member from the Dukes of Hazzard on our show, though. Welcome.
Oh, my gosh.
And so much more.
Our
guest on the midday today is actor and singer Tom Wopat. He's currently appearing on Broadway in Sondheim on Sondheim. Was nominated for a Tony Award for his role in A Catered Affair and also for Annie, Get Your Gun. He has starred in 42nd Street, Glengarry Glen Ross, Guys and Dolls, City of Angels, and I Love My Wife, quite a Broadway star. And as Norman just mentioned, he achieved TV fame for his role as Luke Duke in the very long-running...
Some would say infamy.
6 years.
In the TV series Dukes of Hazzard. But more important, born in Lodi, Wisconsin, and a student at UW-Madison, studied music at UW-Madison. And Tom Wopat is here in Wisconsin to appear in a production of South Pacific with Four Seasons Theater in Madison this weekend. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, it's a long way from Hazzard County to the South Pacific.
Well, it's, you know, fortunately for me, I was actually doing Broadway stuff before I did any television. Mm-hmm. So it was an easy return to get back to Broadway. And just incidentally, in the last 10 or 12 years, I've done more work on Broadway than just about anybody, I think. I've been in about 8 shows in the last 12 years.
That's intense.
It's a pretty grueling schedule, I would
think. Yeah, that's the one thing, is that it's 6 days a week, or 8 shows a week and 6 days a week. And that's tough. It's just more psychologically tough than anything else. But it's something I like to do. And generally, especially in the last 10 years, the parts have been very interesting. You know, Glengarry with Liev Schreiber and Alan Alda. You know,
how
amazing stuff. And that really, I play the guy who gets duped, the guy who gets taken. And it was such a non sequitur from the other things I've done on Broadway, because I was always kind of the
romantic
man.
Lead. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was amazing. There were people that would come to the show and they say, "Were you in the first act?" And basically, I sit there for 10 minutes and get just abused by the Liev Schreiber character. But it was so that actually engendered a whole new kind of career for me. I've been doing some movies and just did a episode of Medium for next season on CBS and. Coincidentally, making records. I get to make records at the same time.
Actor and singer. You're really singer, actor, singer. You're a serious musician.
Well, it's one of the things, again, it's something that is extremely enjoyable for me. I've been a singer since I was a little kid. We had great teachers in Lodi, and I was like nurtured from the time I was like 5 or 6 years old. People would give me private lessons, and there was a guy there, a school teacher that had graduated from the UW named Don Roebuck. And he had studied with Bettina Bjorkstrom. Remember
that
name?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes, indeed.
So, and he really kind of kick-started me. So 20 years later, when I did my first appearance at Carnegie Hall, I flew him up from North Carolina to be at my Carnegie Hall appearance. It was great.
Wow.
So I've been very fortunate. I consider myself a singer first, but somehow over the years, the acting is... started to get to be something I can do as well.
Did you, not to dwell on this too much, but did you actually get to do any singing during those 6 years you were doing the
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Did you?
What I would do is, you know, we'd have a little hiatus every year, and there's a place in southern Michigan called the Barn Theater in Augusta, and I would go there and do shows. Like, our big heyday was from 1979 through 84.
Right.
And I think I went back 3 different summers during that time. And then shortly after that, worked on in New York in a show called Olympus on My Mind, off-Broadway show in 87. And then got cast in City of Angels in 91, and then I was kind of back for good.
You're working with some of the best Broadway stars, Barbara Cook in Sondheim on Sondheim.
Mm-hmm.
Do you do anything to keep up, or do you still study with anybody? Are you...
Well, you know, most people of, like, her stature, I don't know, she might have a coach anymore, mm-hmm. but I don't think she studies. Mm-hmm. And like Bernadette, she had a coach,
mm-hmm.
somebody that if she had a problem, she would work with them. I don't. I'm fairly self-reliant, probably to a fault. And I feel like I've kind of carved out my little niche of what I do vocally, and I understand what I do, and I got really good enough training when I was a kid. I studied with Roebuck in high school and then Dale Gilbert here. All that stuff held me in pretty good stead. I think the thing that you tell young people, young singers, is really the training is not so much to make you just... your voice is not going to change a whole heck of a lot. I mean, it can grow and things like that. But for me, what the training has done has been able to protect myself when I'm, like, if I'm sick or tired and you know what to do.
How to pace yourself, warm up, and protect what you've got.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't got much, you got to make do with what you got, because I don't miss.
Well, that role of Emile Debec is not a pushover.
Well, it's actually, if you really look at it, he doesn't spend hardly any time on stage. It was built for an opera singer.
Yeah, it's Il Pinto.
Yeah, so he kind of walked on stage and did his big number, walked back off.
But there are
shows that are a lot more demanding. And that's, you know, it's not undemanding vocally, but...
Sure.
He gets the two best songs.
Oh, some great
ever.
Melodies. Yeah. Timeless music.
Well, let's see. We could. Do you want to hear a little bit of that, just for fun?
If you wish. Who you got?
I actually have Ezio Pinza doing it in this case.
Mine's a little different.
Not so much in the aria style.
I think there's plenty of room for difference.
Yeah.
In this, but let's just see if we can pick up. It's Il Pinza's version, which is probably the best known, when you say. I mean, he got there first, but also, of course, he...
Ironically, the guy who just played it on Broadway beat me out for the Tony in 2008.
Oh.
Paul Schott.
Oh, well,
yeah.
you're in good company. So here's something enchanted, you might say, from South Pacific. South Pacific, one of the most famous songs/arias in American musical theater. That was the guy for whom the role actually was, I guess, launched, you might say, Ezio Pinza. And the South Pacific also, of course, launched Michener, too. That's what put him on the map as the adaptation of his book.
Yep.
It was based on Tales of the South Pacific, story of World War II, and... racism, a real social commentary.
Yeah. They didn't shy away. Rodgers and Hammerstein didn't shy away from controversial topics. You know, the Carousel was another one that was kind of a dark musical.
Oh, yeah,
musical.
For sure, yeah.
And but they just, you know, they really knew how to mine the heartline of a story. And I mean, my favorite is still Oklahoma. I mean, just because... I'm Curly.
Music.
Curly the Cowboy is just one of the most fun parts to ever play in your life. It's just wonderful. But the other ones, I enjoy them as well.
So that would include, say, Annie Get Your Gun?
Well, Annie Get Your Gun, Irving Berlin. I think it still may hold the record for most number one records songs out of a...
No kidding.
They had like 9 or 10 number one songs from Oklahoma. And he did it. I mean, he did it because Jerome Kern died. They were, Rodgers and Hammerstein actually produced it, and they hired him to write the music.
He wrote a lot of great melodies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's a thing like they say, we really need an 11th hour number. So in the cab ride back home, about 20 minutes later, he calls and he says, how about this? And it's old-fashioned wedding.
You know? Yeah, nice to have that kind of spontaneous talent.
Speaking about spontaneous talent, you're known for country music. You appeared on hosting a country show. You perform jazz and standards and rock and roll. Would you have a recording project underway right now?
We're thinking about the next one. The one that you're holding here that we're going to hear a selection off in a minute is that we finished that up in... Oh, actually, we finished mastering it on election night.
Wow.
In 2008. And what a morning that was to come out at 2 o'clock in the morning after Obama had won. And,
yeah.
And we had just finished mastering this. So, I like to try to make a record every couple of years, 3 years at the most. I don't like to go much longer than that.
Have you, how would you characterize the music that you're making now?
Well, this record is closest to what I do live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a mixture, kind of popularized. Well, I mean, there's been a lot of singers that have done this kind of format of, it's based kind of on the American Songbook. But there's more contemporary stuff in it. This has But Not For Me, and it's got songs like 42nd Street from the eponymous show. And it also has things like Deacon Blues from Steely Dan and Natural Man from Lou Rawls and Spinning Wheel from BS&T, which
oh.
I did in a... I had a band here back in the early 70s that I sang and played second trombone in called Skyway. And we had a horn band, and we played. We were the house band at the town pump out in Verona.
Sure, well, good.
So
you have to have brass if you're going to play Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Yeah, this stuff. This is the most aggressive of the three jazz records I've made, and so it's got piano, bass, drums, guitar, and a half a dozen horns.
The name of the CD is called "Consider It Swung."
And we will have them at the venue. Just by the way.
The CD as well.
And there also is TomWopat.net or TomWopat.com.
Okay.
Either one goes to the same place.
Sweet.
All right. Well, that seems to be the way things are flowing. So shall we sample some of your very latest opus here? And that would be But Not For Me. And who else is here with you, Tom Wopat, in this?
On the front cover, you got Dave Fink on the bass, who also produced the record. Ted Firth at the piano, who's my musical director for 10 years, and Peter Grant, who's just an amazing jazz drummer and been around for a long time. His father was a drummer in New York as well.
All right, so we're going to get jazzy here with But Not For Me, Tom Wopat.
Gershwin, Gershwin.
Sunshine, listen, you don't you tell me dreams come true, just try it. I'll start a riot. I still love everything that she does, but she's not for me.
Gershwin Plus, you might call that.
How about that?
That was wonderful.
Lively.
That's a lot of fun. We were talking while it was running actually that second verse was inspired by a record that Ben Sidran gave me when he was working with me on a record of Harold Arlen selections. And there's a jazz player or jazz singer named Georgie Fame from England who made up that second verse over based on a solo that was played by Chet Baker. So there's a lot of, especially the new interpretations of the American Songbook, there's a lot of history to some of them.
There's a lot of history, and there's just wonderful context and that whole melting pot that America was back in the 20s and 30s and 40s just produced.
Well, the cool thing, too, now that I think is, like, Bublé is a good example, Michael Bublé, of where he takes that format, that kind of style, and does things like Me and Mrs. Jones. And just with the most amazing arrangements, Don Sobeski arranges his stuff. And, the guy who's their producer, David Foster, he's got more money than anybody. And so they lush it up and swing it hard. And that kind of stuff is exciting for me.
Well, it's wonderful to listen to. The name of this CD is Consider It Swung, featuring our guest today, Tom Wopat.
My wife said, Isn't that title kind of, doesn't it have a lot of attitude? And I said, yes.
Well, that comes with the territory.
That's what we're looking for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, we're here talking with Tom Wopat. He's in Wisconsin to appear.
Back in Wisconsin. The hometown.
Native land, that's right.
Back at the Union Theater, where I actually first sang about 1967.
What did you sing?
I sang MacArthur Park.
Wow.
The Summer Music Clinic variety show.
Uh-huh.
And the summer, that was actually, that summer I sang By the Time I Get to Phoenix. The next summer I sang at Arthur Park.
That's a little bit of a variety there.
Yeah. Well, those were the days that, you know, that all that stuff was AM music.
Sure, and, sure, yeah.
You know, even my little foray into country music was more, country was more middle of the road then. That was right after Urban Cowboy. So, you know, it got kind of poppy and rocky.
Oh, for sure,
that stuff was quite available.
All fusing there. I have to wonder, you know, for somebody who does Broadway and you do all these other projects as well, where do you actually have to live to pull all of that off?
I live in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, I still own my father's farm up in Lodi, and I have a house in Nashville from my 8-9 years there. But New York is, you know, where it happens for me. I mean, I have access to, like you just heard, the best musicians in the world, and also get to do shows. I got a new show coming up the first of next year. We're going to be going into production of Catch Me If You Can,
which
is based on the movie, and I play the father. And fortunately for me, they've written me music just like what you heard. I get to sing several big swing songs, and I kind of school my son in how to be nefarious.
Right, yeah.
And
so it's
then,
counterfeiting
it
is the name of the game or something, yeah.
The cool thing in this musical is that it's written by Scott Whitman and Mark Shaiman, who wrote Hairspray. But what they've done is, like, my character sings, like, big band swing stuff. The kid sings this kind of pop music, not American Idol, better than that, but you know, sings that style and really.
Well, that's a nice way to contrast characters.
And then the detective, who's played by Norbert Leo Butz, sings kind of a. It's almost a rap. They do this stuff that's very rhythmic and got a lot of real high impact lyric, you know, just really piling it on. Patter songs, kind of.
Okay.
So each character has their own musical style that gets folded into the mix. And it's really, I'm very excited about it. It should be a big deal for me.
Will that be on Broadway?
Yes, ma'am. On the Broadway.
Yeah.
So do you get a lot of questions from aspiring Broadway performers? How do I get there?
Well, you know, not too much, but when I do, it's hard to say because, I mean, when I first was on Broadway, it was 1979 and or 78, and that's long ago. The path these days is a little harder, I think.
Really? Why do you think
Well, just because it's so competitive.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, and also there's also the big influx of American Idol singers.
Really?
Oh, that's, yeah. Whatever's popular.
They're streaming into Broadway.
Yeah.
Jennifer Hudson and, a lot of those.
A lot of that stuff, you know, like Wicked lends itself well to that
kind
of
thing. Well, that's true. Yeah, it's the style.
And some of the new ones, Spring Awakening, those guys, Hairspray had somebody in there from American Idol. And so that stuff, you know, that would not be the textbook way of getting to Broadway. The kids that are exciting to listen to, there's a lot of them coming in from the conservatory in Cincinnati, and there's more and more schools that teach that style of performance, which in my day nobody did. You know, you studied opera,
sure.
You studied applied voice, you didn't study musical theater.
Michigan's got a program for that,
I think they do. You know, Indiana State has always been a real good performance school. So,
well, it's nice having you, Tom Wopat, back in Wisconsin for a while.
Hey, I'm so glad to be here. I get a good brat. I get a good Garibaldi up there at Paisans and go to Mickey's Dairy Bar for breakfast.
Go check out.
It's a food thing for me.
Go check out Susie the Duck, which is not a food thing.
Not a food thing. Not on purpose, anyway.
Our guest today on the Midday has been Tom Wopat, and he is appearing this weekend with Four Seasons Theater in Madison in South Pacific, singing the role of Emile Lebec. And that's going to be Friday night, Saturday night, both of those nights at 7:30, and then there's a Sunday matinee performance. And if you'd like tickets and information, it's fourseasonstheater.com. That's R-E at the end of theater. Or you can call the box office, 608-265-ARTS.
And I've got a really terrific, I wanted to mention my leading lady.
Sure.
Allie Foss, who's actually just kind
of... Speaking of she's a product of a great musical. So I think she did go to Michigan.
I think she did too.
Yep.
And she's doing a terrific job. We were having a blast.
She's a talented singer and performer. Glad you mentioned that.
Kooky.
Yeah.
In a good way.
Well, that makes for interesting viewing.
Oh, well, that's perfect for the character.
Yeah.
We're having a great time.
Good.
And I'm sure the audiences will also. This, in the meantime, takes us back to the world of the Baroque, and it is by Antonio Vivaldi, a cello concerto in B minor from Misha Maisky and the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra. Antonio Vivaldi wrote that.
And what was it?
That was a cello concerto in what key? Let's see. Can we guess? Well, if you guess B minor, you'd be right. Misha Maisky was the soloist with the Orpheus Chamber Orchestra, bringing us to 16 minutes before one. And it's just
Aldo Ciccolini is next.
And he is going to conduct us to the engulfed cathedral, the legend being, of course, that the cathedral and the city around rise from the sea every 100 years with church bells tolling. You wonder what that does for real estate values in a place like that. But anyway, here it is, the Engulfed Cathedral.
By W.C. The cathedral is fully engulfed again.
That's right. It has been re-sunk.
Debussy's Engulfed Cathedral. We heard it by Aldo Ciccolini.
And that brings us to some flute and guitar music by a composer by the name of Ernst Gottlieb Baron. This is his Concerto No. 1 in C for flute and guitar, played by Gunilla von Bahr and Diego Blanco, after which the results of today's 12:30 quiz question. Of one, Johann Gottlieb Baron, played by Gunilla von Bahr and Diego Blanco, a concerto.